until we meet again, your memory will stay with me.
Hold the singing, just the hand claps.
Singing was good.
I like the singing.
This is 90.7 FM, WGXC Accra, Hudson, Catskill, the station that everyone loves.
Just remember, this is your radio station, and to keep it going smoothly, it helps if you become a sustaining supporter. What that means is you go to our website, you click on donate, and you make a monthly donation, which we will take it out of your credit card for you. Actually, I think it notifies you every month to make sure you still want to do it, and just kind of give whatever you can give monthly. $10 a month, $5 a month.
Right.
It's not hard. It's not hard.
It's a good idea.
If you care about this station.
It's a very good idea.
Become a friend of WGXC now by going to wgxc.org/donate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by the Country Shepherd, a construction consultation and client representation service for custom residential projects and maintenance. The Country Shepherd advises clients on every element of their renovation, ground up build or remodel, from hiring the right craftsmen to managing timelines to locating the exact materials that their clients require. Founder Jeff Wilcox has been building custom residences since 1990 in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, California, and Italy. For more information, visit thecountryshepherd.com.
Wavefarms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Glow Juice in Hudson, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you.
is Annie. You're listening to Long Pause, an invitation to slow down into interstitial realms through sound. Each month's show explores a different sonic theme inside the spaces or entirely beyond the binaries of ordinary and sacred, particular and universal, human, non-human. You just heard the instrumental version of Cosmogony by Björk from Biophilia, which tells the story in four parts, or I guess tells four different kind of creation myths in her form of a kind of dedication to the music of the spheres, and a way of listening to the very creation of the world. I chose to start off with that song this morning because today we will turn our attention towards a kind of listening beyond hearing, and thinking about what we can sense when we go beyond the physical kind of involuntary state of hearing and turn more towards the conscious position of listening. There are so many names for this nameless practice. I think, of course, of deep listening developed by Pauline Oliveros. And that practice really explores the difference between hearing and listening through a practice, through sonic meditations, that really ask us to give our attention to all dimensions of perception, beyond space, beyond time. And so I usually play music on this show, and I'll continue to play some throughout the hour. But this morning I have another kind of music, I guess, to encourage this way of listening. I'm going to pass the airspace off to Joel Neuberger, a poet and someone dear to me whose language helps me wander along that shoreline between hearing and listening. We recorded some passages from his forthcoming book together. The book is called Summerland. The passages that I'll play here, and I guess his broader work, speaks of listening itself, but it's evident that his language is made through listening. We'll continue after these selections that I'll play to kind of explore the idea of listening beyond the time-space continuum. And you'll hear from me again after we hear from Joel.
This autumn land is all eyes, natural eyes. It lost its hearing when the space of the continent stretched further than the voice could go. The voice and the ear are of the precinct and have perfect pleasure in the grove and cathedral and marketplace, delimited place, where sound and noise move or can move. But sight is the conquistador, the pilgrim, the Oregon expedition. Sight is the sperm of wealth, shot from deep Potomac sources. Money doesn't listen, but we can listen to money and to commerce, that hermetic fugue in close quarters. Listening is not about the local or the ordinary, but go out on any humid night and listening will be all about you. Listening is what has hardly begun in America. Did Madison or Hamilton or Jefferson or Adams listen? Their genius was sudden or systematic. They projected, articulated structures of finance and will across the Union, leaving no margin or gore unreckoned. The genius of the greater American, Charles Ives, who was no American at all, was to realize that if he was going to compose symphonies, he'd have to make a different structure. Make the structure different than the structures of that country he could not quite see from Danbury, if his works were going to be heard and not just seen serenely with a romantic ear. Hearing for him and for us stands not higher than listening. Hearing may be understanding, but listening follows the tracks of the stray hound and the pigeon and the deer. It takes each thing back through its downward branching roots and each thing forward toward an eventual continent. It is putting things in relation and taking them apart. America is a land of the optative mood, yet now its politics, its power, is of the eye. But even in this allegedly late time in the empire, all-seeing, another music clings obstinately to our unconscious grammar. It is what might be if we listen at night. And because this remains so, and was so 100 years before now, the American composer and American poet do not solicit our attention with self-sufficing discord and glancing obliquity, but with the ordeal of an unfolding in which such tones and distended chords are bound, even if only by the hope of future emplacements, even if by the phantom simplicity of a tender common life that might as well be a Gnostic dream. Thus, under my glass floor runs a stream away from what the mill does to gold heads and its own strength. One thing into another, it returns or turns. Not to the water. It does not listen to the seven currents of mercy and wrong and right and anger. It does not hurry to change the earth. I saw a chance and I took it, say the businessman and the lecher. I saw an opening, the foot soldier says, and ran right through it. But I took my chances and set them to one side. Necessity sang what the river had sung, what the winds to my window had brought of strange pollens. I stole the shadow and hung it from a tree, stole $100 and lit them on fire, and saw living things hive under the green skins, donated my thunder, set the oysters free, napped the flint, the cunt throve, leapt over the river, gave a stranger the car keys. Meanwhile, I searched my fatuous heart for a necessary color, stole the light, wore the light, and when I spoke out loud, I stood naked in the park, between the earth and a rock, between books and their words. I read the spaces, the rest blurred. One by one, judges in black fled or retired, for the first time aware in their wet cotton, a strange wind passes their judgments by. The arbitrary may betray the heart before dawn, but even the sudden sunrise stumbles a road to everywhere, drinking the night, all of it, and the rising, more than the star, shows us someone at the bus stop, hiding his face. The star does not destroy him, but destroys his loneliness, eats his solitary and boyishly loose way of leaning, destroys the fact of him as a piece of luck, as something seen or heard we say at random. What a coincidence! And now nothing at all is seen, but a gray horse flows through the coldest bays, and a snake coils on the court steps. A baker wakes up, and we can hear it. listening is another thing. Already the oven fills with time, and the heat holds our ears a little longer, which open from Kinderhook to Livingston, stolen from their prairie death, the breads are born. This is a cold night, in a cold that shapes the objects of reflection. So there are breads here and horses, and it is all born of the cold. After all, we all are as our air and water are, and speak according to the words this time. And time wears the necessary colors of form. We learned long ago that nouns are for our eyes, names are Florence and Venice and Rimini, but now we know the difference between Pasole and a Yeti is not as great as it seems. There is a difference, but it's one we have to listen to, listen for. Listening out into a perpetually invented space, those very distances we had thought were in our eyes. Listen to the hominy mature in the red vat. Listen to the frigid tundra gestate, its real monstrum. You can see already that this country is far from listening. It is me and you, want and have, word and spirit, but it is very far from listening. The composers whose work still sings teach us that we have not yet listened, that perhaps there has not yet been music. But all the arts are arts of listening because they bound a space in which we also are. What I do to a painting is not looking. Even the pictures of Italy and of the North, with their rectifications of perspective, reach their fullness in listening. The dimensional cone of sight is a musical figure, whether its intervals are in oil or in the natural air. The theaters of vision are the most resonant halls. And how do we see the moving pictures of Brackage or Darren or Mencken or Beavers? We may say they destroy the icon with their music, and thereby free our eyes from idolatry into the rhythms of perceiving, or that they set the icon, the image, in a moving music that grows a greater body in an inner space, not inside me or you, but inside the world, a sculpture in time. But look, the sculpture glows. Its eyes begin tracking and noting the lapses of stars. It has somehow taken off its stone or stoniness. It moves. The words on the page, visible words, etched words. Remember, a page is a field, a page is the countryside, with winds and hogs and vetches. But this is not remembering. We were not dropped off in America by heavenly parents with work to do elsewhere. Of course we do not know who or what we are, and so long as we suppose where we are is something for our eyes to know, we will forget the smallpox and the stolen corn, and the raids in Esopus, alluvial fields, the killings, the abductions, the terror. Terror is in sound first and last of all, and posits an escarpment of music, the tilted and faulted surface of the place. Because the stolen crop is the musical figure, the actual place, the invisible harmony in which we seemingly listen, if we can, and we live. Or else we will see someone painting the storefront, fixing the windows on the almshouse. We'll see a Dutch banker in ragged mohair, and the daughter of a screenwriter with long acrylics holding his hand. We'll see the whateverness of design and fashion and architecture as true indices of change. That place has changed. Look around you. It's not how it used to be. Money and dogs, so many dogs, padding their simple way to heaven. We'll say to our dinner guests, 9/11, look, it changed everything. But there is this valley of trees up there, valley of safety. The terror won't touch us there, among the apples. When we speak like this and do not listen, we are blind. We see and think, and that's the end of it. But there is a second seeing called listening. to which the changes are of another kind. They are not of the spirit or intellect. The world is very beautiful, and the critique of sight will not dissolve it in an abstract solution. The changes as they are of a body. We call it the earth, the ground. I have seen it, its changes sounding in sparkling articulations, in hadal opacities, commingling and swirling fluids, in the song of the ant's work, and the ziggurat that staggers in the sun shower. These are not metaphors, though there is little more difficult than invoking in our speech actual bodies unseen, visible and actual bodies whose shape is sound, which are our civic circumstance, which were born in monstrous conjunctions long ago. It may be this simple. Listen only once, and the rest of your days live the hearing of it. There is a great peril in listening, and a greater one in not. Listening is the first day and the first perception. It is how we discover touch and sight and smell, and whose house this was and will be, and whose house it is. And see and saw and tell the story. Grains swelled in cold water, water waves, stories high. No one lives there. The light ruins the ocean. The ghastly pyramids of night lie around our phone calls like false homecomings. Ruminant darkness, cow of my reading. Jupiter in splendor where a door stands at the road's end. Whore's Glen is Diamond Park, and Charity and Carity eke out the coldest Kamadulila that ends wars. Splendor of the rings and widening circles of our eyes' ears and knees' eyes, brightening since Stockbridge, at the mill bend in the road where the cars roll so slowly that the heart, white as baneberry, rose backwards from the doorway to the source of waters. The force of law, the ban is no more. There is a point somewhere in space from which all our weathers come to teach us patience and desire as the sky crosses the entire sea to kiss the navigator, alive or dead. Never and was not and will not be, believe the other one speaking, who, as I supposedly speak, walks under my window and it is done. I turn over, the sun's rise, touch knows what is really here. Knee and shoulder, and never neglect, and wars become birds who sing, delect the light, every night. In love's country there is no choosing. In love's country, the wounded limestone drears our water. This is what I drink. I am also thinking of rain, caught in the vugs. I am thinking of the aqueduct, guiding our souls toward potash and buffalo. The granary is a cathedral. I am sleeping on elevators. I am dusted with gypsum or with flour. I am also thinking of Rochester in ruins, the film strip on fire that flies through the heart. Thinking falls 100 feet off of the very edge of air, and all the sleeping visionaries of Natick and Concord climb through the waters unharmed. Goodbye, termagant. Harangue us no longer for these vagrancies of speech. The five locks can't do anything when breath gets going. Breath usurps an extravagant power at the threshold of rock, at the immense and fiery doors to the sky's redoubt that turn white when someone stands there brandishing her silence. I am thinking of doing something. I am thinking of opening a tavern on the turnpike and a lighthouse on the canal, both of stone and built for stone men who dilapidate as they walk or ride or drift west. While they sit at the table, the waitresses I never hired will serve them mutton and corn hash. But the table is mostly for the dance of the earth to discover its local pattern. It is for the rains to find a way down from their locked ethereal towers, down and out to the creek towns and river ports where men who move things without moving live. All I do is give each of my guests a tablespoon of the cold water, and they say they hear things, hear sounds like a voice in the water, and the swallow thereof, in the beautiful and dark interior. They try to explain that the source of the water is calling them out to the road again. They don't know which way, but they'll listen. These are long nights indeed. These water carriers tipple, but don't lose their bearing. They sing Amazing Grace. They play their eternal games without tiring, all the while keeping one eye on history, but only one. So when the Irishman, propped on his ash stick, deep in his feelings, stands to leave, or when the bandit, she who has heard everything and now throws her pen and the blank notebook into the fire, when she moves from one dusty corner to the other, the general gab lifts into a farewell song, an ode to mourning. Morning after morning, after there is no after, the eternal child laughs and breaks the sequent chain of days. We change our hives and loves where the river shakes blind at the term of light, its lust for rock not sated. Its freer fingers work even on the seventh day. It rebuilds the country table where supper and banter were, and perfect appetite is and will be. Song after song, after the mornings of centuries, a water vleet, purple singing, goes on in the burning woods that stand astral where our materials combine. But song is stronger than any mind. It confers the simplest gifts, the touch of a secret law, a morning longer than its light. So I say, relent, all you streetlights and other rays of the empirical fire. With or without you, I will shake clear of the meal until my clear voice can surf earth tides from here to Sodus Bay. And let me and my sisters do what we want in the alley, the opposite of speech, something other than play, not to be shown, something different from something seen, distinctions of jasmine, nameless acts in the cult space. Everything is sounding like a song, but no one is singing. Love's question is, whose song? It presupposes only one thing. We are related to no one. At Oneida and at even New Lebanon, we love one and love more than one. With vernacular pleasures, trust, and touch, with such simple gifts. To the murderer, his eyes, to the accountant, amnesia. Eyes, be opened, see something other than scales. Hear the loins of the oak tree royal, and open one sexual eye that blinks in public. I am thinking of the oracle, but it speaks something other than fate. Meanwhile, the counter key feeds on our terrible grass, our distal way, polyamory, napalm, elsewhere, Ohio, utterly done for, they run for the sea. Where the music is, the music pries apart our dying ways. When we say arms and man, we say touch and green. When we say we sing, we say words, irreversible perfection is our perfected perception. Chimney bluffs in full sail, say a viridescent country sleeps under the lake. When we say we listen, we sayingly constitute an alleyway, another way, that never was lost, not in music, that blue tower that thunders in what history says it was, we say. This autumn land.
Thank you for listening. You just heard Joel Neuberger reading from his forthcoming book, Summerland. To read the book Undivided is such a gift, so stay tuned the book will be published in September with new books. You can also hear Joel read from a book he published in November, Titan's Goblet, on an episode of Poet Radio on WGXC. It's in the archives online with Chris Funkhauser. Joel speaks about film as a moving music that grows a greater body in an inner space, not inside me or you, but inside the world, a sculpture in time. This morning on this show, Long Pause, we're thinking of listening in this way, that listening is itself a making, that it's not an aesthetic, but an act of creation itself. And before we hear another section of Joel's book, I want to play two songs from an album I adore that kind of explores this this form of listening. It's from these two songs are from Joanna Newsom's album Divers. She explores a theme throughout this album of kind of time moving in both directions. And I'm thinking about listening as something that, you know, is received and gives and makes and unmakes a world. So I'm going to play actually the last song from the album and then the first song from the album. They'll fold into one another because the last word of the record transfers us back to the very first. The last song on the album ends with the syllable trans, and the first word of the album is sending. And so I just invite us to kind of try on a backwards way of listening, thinking about time moving both ways.
Time passed hard, and the task was the hardest thing she'd ever do. She forgot the moment she saw you. So it would seem to be true. One crew burned the bases, we forget. One crew dead the bases, we believe it erases all the rest that precedes. A stand brave life liver, bleeding out your day. Stand brave. Time moves both ways in the nullifying, defeating, negating, repeating joy of life. The nullifying. as we sighted out the flyers in the gray sky.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Long Pause this morning. We've been exploring listening beyond hearing, listening beyond the local, listening that sculpts and bends time and space, listening as seeing itself, as touch. We'll close this morning with another section, another passage from Joel Neuberger's forthcoming book. He read a section called Appalachian Mornings. Thank you so much for tuning in.
This is a section called Appalachian Mornings. This is the house, and the pots are clanging, the spoons are singing, the bare feet are beating out a terrific rhythm. The sentences of night, like legs, are pointing one way. Go south, they say. The energies flow only one direction. But these words are deadly false. There are many meanings, friends, and sounds. The shivery sentences of morning dance circles on the warming ground. The glittering trout go free. And as they lift our heads from reading, they give us the Hiawassee way of speaking, sending us all day over the old stone weir that catches none of our words. We have come here for the wedding. The wedding will come true in the right. Catch the water, bring it to a gay heat. Watch the water, scratch her initials in his arm, line it with ground beans, water it, note what happens to his skin and hair, listen to the sounds she makes. If he looks like water, she'll sound like fish. If she sounds like fire, he'll pretend to flee. And if she sounds like fire, he'll become a factitious air, each psyllium a worm of ash. Watch the water in the garden. Set it free. Do not lose sight of its freedom. All the iron gates bend sinuous. The iron arches stretch to let you in. Watch the stars. Lift the inscribed sand or lift the inscription from the single grain. Reward the unfaltering winds with the writing. Or with the thing itself, move this very earth by misunderstanding, by a rightness hidden in a car on Star Mountain, or in the hollow mind, dark staircase that G Creek carves from quartzite. A blackened circle from last night's fire, on a higher ledge, and who were they, and what did they say, and eat, or mean, and taste, and where went they, and when? The rhododendron performs its perpetual green. This performance composes a hidden country, coital and leaf green, sedulous green, seditious to the day's map, composes estranged things in newfangled forms. So when it storms, Stroudsburg and Etowah sing as one, and the whole origin resounds with spoons. The horsehair night brushes out our winter wailing. The bride and groom comb their hair, they exchange their gold, standing naked, with their brightness hidden, first on the highway, then in the river, third under the mountain, last in the house. Here the psalmody is red clay, the melody is muscadine, wine or juice or grape is alive in their mouths and alive on Mincy. And at Mogonk, which must be Deer Mohonk, the Black Bear Hill, and at Minisink, at Minnewaska, a girl is in Minneapolis, a grandmother in Minnesota, frozen, ropey, Minnehaha. Its power rushes in the ravine, its brightness rushes behind the eyes. This song pours sounds from my head, this bull cup of names. Winter tends to the boundary lines. The ends of what we think we own. Things and beings do not have their holy names. Properly they give us names or give us to the names. Such ligatures, two fingers on the tuned strings of the blindest guitar. Oh, yes, such are the sundry weathers that structure our sudden weddings, someone might say. But this rite is rebar in Appalachian air. On this ceremonial night, a rift between the deed and its meaning opens when sleep steals our minds. The same is true by day. We watch as meanings lift their hands from our actions and whisper grace over the human meal. Meanwhile, the dog strains against a man's strength in a rope, and he whines and wants to touch the free cat, happy and easy, this cat, sated again by seeing grace notes in the mass of leaves piled here, driven there, by the sly wind, by seeing fat masses of light moving in the air. The cat leaves, the dog relents, these causes take us home. And if my bees wander, my God, guide them from the field to home, the hive, or let their hive be everywhere. Toss nuts and cones everywhere, give me pine trees to tinct the air, and jars of rich honey. Dear Spirit, mount me when the fire founders, this lean-to, founded in the eyeless night, this camp anchored in desire, lost in Tennessee, alone at the door of knowing, alone at the gates of waters. Dear Spirit, come to me as fire, talk to me as fire. Be fire in me, be me and more. The forest of floors, their beams, their soundless exhalations. The wind buffets the windows and doors, futters the trees, it will not relent. Into my heart an air that kills. From yon far country blows, an error, a song I chose, I did not. Into the air a heart that kills, halls terrors, a country I remember, where all I once knew I lost I know. Is there an extinct ceremony? Does a thing done or even the guns flash, the bright eye, in the torso, does Cthulhu's eye shine through my perfect skull? Do I truly have one eye in the one sun? Does a dormant ceremony or forgotten nights, tremulous or immolent or lachrymose dance, set the deep patterns for our half steps? We know a meaning and a ceremony, a tradition and a rite, the colostrum and the calf, the cotton weft and the woolen warp, shotnez and miscegenation, what is permitted, the hour and the office and the psalm. There is a wish and a hope, a thought and a decision, the sky brightens. From the prow of the continent, the balcony, from his window, he watches droves of bison flow into the earth or be swallowed up, and there are cows coming out of the same hole. How will we say that in our language? Cows came and pillaged the grasses, but there is a language among cows. The grasses sink down, gold, they become gold threads, unweave the value of gold, go on weaving eccentric figures in the dark, bison in abyssal pasture, all of imaginal stuff. Or could it be real animals foraging in the deepest snow? They don't know, or do they? Their hooves press soft earth into sinks and pools, where birds that cross with no explanation do their drinking and then their going on. The problem is the passing on. Children press their faces to the glass, not wanting what is inside. What is inside they already have. Theirs is a natural magic. Sleep near, the little one, pad softly toward their eyes. History of a horse on fire, and the word softly presses its seal into the skin. We must be in Vladimir. We must see. Men run out of the burning horse. Seeing is necessary. We must see a horse fall from a tower, or a tower fall from a horse. Adapt the more plausible story for a movie and a day that will end with her naked in a soft bed, a night that ends plunging its eye into the magician's silk robe. Who carries the quitolus, mortal eyes? Who carries our eyes? The wool skirt falls from her tower. What falls from her tower? Words from the tower's lips, mortal lips, rain from the sky of her lips, cold speaking drops, cold wet speaking, the waters, the mercies crush the prairie grass. The sinks fill with rainwater, what falls from the windows of birds, the heart fills with the juice of gods, a never before recorded force or a power. The sayings fly, the actions flourish in the wise arrogance of doing them, of no tradition, a flower or a code, not passed down but given this moment to one who cannot read it. On this Appalachian night, hope is an allegory of abounding rock, love an exact second speaking of red oak and Jackson vine. Need is an image of the black bear's last meal. There is no need. Idea and form and forever emanate from lovely natural faces. History is a face on fire, in fire, crackling on the TV. Rewind the tape, reverse the heart. The light moves backwards and the dark advances. Berlioz, a moon in oil, her smile, an ape in the depths. The world sings off its figures. Map in fire, miles of trees completely shining. The icon in the screen, the real face, behind which no priest does his magic. No mind dictates the dance of the senses. Light and only ultimate light, and now the face I see and do not die, do not see and kiss in the fragrant chapel or a barn with hay floor and rough beams. This must be the heart of the holy, but not the heart interior, the holy chylum, full of, the whole of, a healing and finest light surrounds our rhyming angelic motions, be it a blank light or replete light, breathing in the space we're in the car we're in that moves slow or fast without going, so the highway we're on folds inwards and is a falls of what feeling or fluid so subtle or energy down from the heart to hips and loins. What is it to be you, and who are you? As the body that is my voice leaps from the body that was my body, and me and mine, and who am I in the place where our eyes close, our doubting eyes? Have we lost the voice? Then we have found the face at last, a wall of glass with colors out of time, where someone has painted a parade of masked figures, a Bacchic march of lovely bodies, of loves, of pasts, and we see them and know them, and if